Okay, since this is totally unplanned in the sense, it isn't counted because you aren't supposed to be here. So therefore, Psalm 147. And back there you can't see, so, and we have a generator that's limited. So, we're looking at staying in the same theme, thought we have looked at. We're looking at the providence of God, his management. And God is busy managing without any question. And he does it. He does it for everything, everywhere, no matter how you cut the cookie. He just does it. So, when it comes to believers, they... way up here, if God's doing it everywhere, when it comes to believers, God, you're right in the middle of it. God's honoring himself, and that's what he's doing. And in the, he's honoring himself in the believer, by the believer, in the world. The world isn't honoring him. They don't care about him to worship. They don't care about him as king. So now, just to pick up a little thought or two that might help us in the light of our exercise that we have just been through, and we're going through it still in the sense of power, etc. And Steve, you told me it was the third, is that true? Third most power shortage in the state of Connecticut ever. Is that right? 750,000 or so. We never had that many. And so, now, Psalm 147, and picking up, if I may, to get the thought and the movement, going to verse 10. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. In other words, Israel is to make sure they're on the same page with God. Verse 13. For he strengtheneth the bars of thy gates, protection. He hath blessed the children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of wheat. That's when God is caring, when you're caring. God is caring. When you care about God, God cares about you. And God's caring exceeds our caring, to say the least. Now, having said that, verse 15, He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. So God, you're going to give your word. The word is... that's the way you evidence yourself and let yourself be understood and known, because you honor your word. It's your word. You've given it. So when we read the word, we're reading about what you've said. And when we read about what you said, we're reading about you. So now, again, verse 15, he sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes, ice. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out the word, his word, and melteth them, and causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. Now God, so when you do all of the weather. And then you make all the weather change. You do all kinds of weather, and then you make it all go away. That's what you do, God. According to your word, you do that. And, therefore, he sendeth his word again, verse 18, he melteth them, he causeth this wind to blow and the waters to flow. Verse 19, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes, and his judgments unto Israel. And that's a privilege of all privileges, to do what you're doing now. You're looking at his word, and you're able to bend your head and heart and receive it. Now, the next verse will help you opposite that. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Up and down the street, up and down the city, up and down whatever the state, wherever it is, whatever. But you have his word, and it isn't that they don't have a Bible. It doesn't mean they don't read. Doesn't mean they don't, whatever. But probably, at a reasonable guess, zero, not many percentage of all those people are going to look to God. They just aren't doing that. Now, God, you gave your word to us, a privilege of all privileges. Now, Psalm 148, since it's right next door. And in Psalm 148, may pick up, please, the movement in verse 4. Praise ye him, sun and moon, and praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise thy name, the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. God made everything. God rules everything in his wonderful management. Verse 6, he hath also established them forever. That's what you have in Jeremiah in that. God said, if you can make the sun go away, make the stars go away, then I'll make Israel go away. But if you can't touch them, you can't touch Israel. We just read it. Israel is privileged to have his word. They just didn't practice using it. Now, so therefore in verse 7, well, we'll read verse 6. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass, like I said in Jeremiah. Verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail and snow and vapors and stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Now, we just had that storm. Depends where you were and what you could see and watching it. And we have lots of trees across the street, of course, in the camp. And the trees are big trees. Some are big trees. And watch trees, wind blows and all that. But I watched them. And, man, I said, I sure hope they don't fall on that house next door, because they're way up in the air. And they're blowing and bending. And you know what? Why didn't they break? Because they're flexible. They're flexible. The wind. They don't control the wind. God does. Why don't they break? Because they're able to be flexible. Flexible. If they were fixed, they'd be like down in the common green down there in Middletown, in the memorial thing over where all the veterans thing is in Washington Street. Some big, but they don't bend. So what have we got to do? We got to bend. We got to bend. We got to bend. Bend with what? The storm. Hang on to that. Here's the storm, and you got to bend. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, as we read in verse 8, the stormy wind fulfilling his word in a most wonderful way. Now, if you would, over to get that in your, refresh your mind, over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And watch how it all slides together. Isaiah chapter 55. And you will remember, as you were recently, in God's wonderful management, And he reminds everybody in his wonderful grace that they don't have to have money or anything. They just need to believe. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy. Well, you don't need any money, not to get it. And eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, fullness. I want you to be fat, full, not in a good way. Sliding down. Now, seek ye the Lord, verse 6. When he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. He will have mercy, hang on to that. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So, God wants us to get in the right place where we're honoring God, worshiping God, honoring his providential rule and management, his sovereignty. Verse 8. God, are you going to help us again, reminding us that my thoughts are with my thoughts, said God. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So, A, we understand that, and we're reminded of that frequently, I hope. Why are we reminding it? Because we tend to go by our reasoning, our rationale, and we do what we do and go where we go and do it and disconnected. We don't even think about God. Hang on. Isaiah 55, picking up, please, in verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So therefore, we mentioned it Sunday and that, you just have to understand that just don't even think. You got all the thoughts you have in your head, and you put them down. It doesn't mean they're bad or good or whatever. You put them down, or leave them down, and then you look up to God. And then your thoughts are down here, and you're going to look to God, knowing when you look down here, these are your thoughts. But when you look up, that's God's thoughts. I look at God's word. God's word. Here's my thoughts, and here's God's word. My thoughts, God's word. So I'm saying, I want to make a distinction. I haven't even started. Well, saying my thoughts are, God, you may think, or what do I don't even discuss my thoughts. I don't even have to debate my thoughts. I don't have to do anything. I have my thoughts, and they're needed and necessary in a human way. But my thoughts are always subject to God's thoughts. And God's thoughts are governed by his word. His word, the storms come, the snow, the wind, the blow, they all blow. That's God's in charge. So therefore, God, we're going to look to you. Now, tacking on what we need, verse 10. For reason, as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not, return not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may purpose, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So God, here's all the weather, here's all the different conditions, all the time, the whole world, the world we're sitting, standing on, the planet Earth, the terrestrial ball, is all moving. Down there. Moving. We don't notice it, but it's moving. And the whole, everything's moving, but we don't know it. Moving, traveling through space, a circle around the sun, 66, whatever it is, 66,000 miles a minute, an hour, I mean, we couldn't even, and we sit so comfortably. With all of that going on. Uh-huh. Now, God, you do that. That's right. And I do all of that weather. I do all of those different things all the time. Now, 4, as the rain cometh down, verse 10. So, in the light of that, so, God, make the comparison for us. What are you trying to tell us about the rain, the snow, the wind that blows? Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, fruitless, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, God, all the weather, all the storms, they're all there. Oh, absolutely. God said, do you see him? I see him. Okay? I want you to know my word, like that rain. So when we're reading it, we have the privilege. Israel had it, but wouldn't exercise it. Believers should exercise it. And therefore God, so the word, verse 11, so the word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. God, you're going to do what you said and say what you mean? Uh-huh, I'm going to do it. It's going to do everything I say it should. So God, we don't control the weather. You do. The result of the weather. What are we going to do with the result of the weather? From the lesson of the weather, from the experience of the weather. God, well, you brought the weather in the first place. We didn't. You do. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, over, if you would please, over to Job. You'll remember it. In chapter 37. Job 37. Elihu is going to give us a little help in thinking about all these things. And therefore, if I may, in Job 37, picking up, please, in verse 10. By the breath of... Now, this is way back with Job, Abraham. You're way back there. And the reason we even know it is because God saw that it was written for us. That's what God did. When you read Genesis, was Moses there when Abraham was born? No. I'm not. You know all of that, don't you? No. How did he ever get the hope? How did we get this Bible? God said, I gave it to him. And when you read the upper room in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, when you read that, God said, listen, you guys got a lousy memory. But the Spirit of God, not your memory, and not your whatever, the reason you're going to be able to write is because the Spirit of God is going to give you the information to write. All the words of Scripture are God-breathed in the original language. So God, you're going to do that. Uh-huh, I am. So God, here we are looking at Job. And in the process, verse 10, and by the breath of God again, frost is given, and the breath of the waters be straightened, frozen. Verse 11. Also by watering, he wearieth the thick clouds. They get all thick, and the moisture goes up and makes them very, very heavy and dark, and whoops, they dump everything. And the water, he wearieth the third cloud, and he scattereth his bright cloud, thunder, lightning. And it is turned around about by his counsel. Who controls the thunderstorm? Who's going to hold the lightning? God said, I do. Uh-huh. And they knew that way, but they were so... Anyway, they just understood God. And it, verse 12, and it is turned around about by his counsel that they may do whatsoever he commanded them upon the face of the world, face of the world in the earth. God, everything does what you want. So therefore, apply it for us, verse 13. He causes it to come, whether for correction, sometime to help us to get things straightened out, or for his land to make it nourishing and productive and fruit and harvest, or for his mercy. So God, you have a purpose. There's always a purpose. If we would pay attention, there's always a purpose. We didn't say that all we saw was the trees and no power. Well, now, so God, we're looking. And you, and verse 14, hearken unto this, O Jacob, still, and consider the wondrous works of God. So here you are, Job, you're in a terrible place, physically, and financially, and family-wise. The whole thing has got shot full of pieces, shot full of holes. But, like the weather, God has wonderful rhyme and reason for what he's doing. So now, having said that, over to Psalm 107 again, if you would. Psalm 107. And picking up the thought again in the wonderful section, Psalm 107, going to verse 24. I'm going to read verse 23 because you get a little the context of the out in the ocean. Are they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in deep waters out in the ocean? Verse 24. These see, what do they see out there in the ocean? They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. That's what they see out there. If you haven't been out in the ocean for some reason or weather out there, not in a lake, but well, unless a big lake like Michigan, then you can't. But ocean, you can't see anything. And waves and ocean, water everywhere. Wow. And when you look out there, that's all it is. And it's deep. Wow. The vast oceans. 70% of the earth, water, ocean. Wow. Awesome. Now, therefore, verse 26, they mount up to the heaven. They think of waves out there, and think of a tidal wave and that. And I shared all this. You people know I can only give it from my experience. I was never on an aircraft carrier, so I can't tell you the wave going over an aircraft carrier. But I can tell you what a wave is going over a Coast Guard 327-foot long, longer than a football field. I can tell you what it is going over a ship. I stood there and looked, and the wave was like this in front of me. And I had to go up. That's a big wave. And what happened when the waves hit those ships at the time, it stopped, and the whole ship shaked. And it just, wow. Ocean, big. Woo. Wait, powerful it is. It's all be nice and calm. Wow. Now, therefore, verse 26, they mount up to the heaven, the deep waves. They go down again to the depth, rising and sinking. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They're out there. They reel the oceans to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man. And are at their wit's end. God, who's in charge of this wild storm? Who on earth is in charge of this? And you wonder, are we going to make it? I'll give you another thing, just may remind you of it. When we were out there in the North Atlantic in the winter, up in the North Atlantic, One of the things we had to do, and the captain had to do it, everyone had to do it, because the ice, salt water, was freezing on the everything on the deck and all the wires, all the cords. Everyone had to be on the deck. They could be everywhere, knocking ice off so the ship wouldn't tip over. Had to do that. Wow. Now, so, to and fro, like a drunken man, verse 28. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. These are the men out there. Wow, what's going to happen to us out here? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Aha! It causes distress. Aha! Where's the delight? Oh, there's lots of distress. Okay. Verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Now, God, boy, can you make it big and heavy? Wow. And all of a sudden, it becomes still and quiet. Now, God, you did that. I did, he said. I did that. I did. Well, now, God, what do you want us to learn from that? Well, I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention, and like it says in verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, and the waves thereof roar still. He's going to make it calm. That's what he wants. He wants you to see in the midst of the distress, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all of that, that is disruptive to the normal things we do every day. He wants you to see a lesson from it. He wants you to learn from it. So therefore, let us learn. Over, if I may, over, oh, all kinds of ways to go. Mark, the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. No, it's in each one of them. We're going to go to Mark, the middle. And if you may, if you could, in the and in Mark, and in chapter, Mark and chapter 4, may I pick up, please, some thoughts, the thought. Yeah. So here we are in the thing. And what's a storm do? A storm does a number of things, depending on the storm. This one, the word disruption would be appropriate. It disrupts everything. A storm does. A storm disrupts. And a storm, what else? It shows power. Awesome power. We can't duplicate that power. I suppose if we dropped a hydrogen bomb, when you drop a hydrogen bomb, of course it's a little different effect, and everything's taken care of fast. And when it comes to a storm, a tidal wave, or that kind of thing, or a storm, its power is awesome. Like the trees we mentioned in the beginning. We couldn't dare bend those trees. No matter what we tried, we could cut them down, but we couldn't bend them. God bends them like that. And they don't break, because they're flexible again. They're flexible. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so storms are going to come, and they are very disruptive, and they show awesome power. And after the power, there's an awesome recovery. Now, how things are, so what happens when a storm comes? Well, right now, many of you are still without power. And if you're like last night, depending on where you live and everything, it got pretty warm. And Jeanette said, you know, it's awful warm. And I said, yes, it is awful warm. And she said, what are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. What are you going to do? She said, I can't sleep. Well, I said, I can't help that. I said, I can't help that. I mean, what do you want? I didn't do it, you know. It's just no power. And it's hot. It's a, Wow. So there you are. Now, God. So it disrupts it. Do you know when it calmed down in the morning? It's all calm, a lot of leaves and everything, branches, but it's calm. It's back to near normal. We're presently, some of us, still abnormal. And what happens? Well, we had something, we lost it, and it's going to come back. Am I going to remind myself of, thankfully, that it's like normal when it goes back? So it's normal. Eversource is going to give you power at a discount. It's at discount because of the power and the virus. So here we are looking, and it changes, and we learn if we pay attention. We're glad when things are a little bit more normal. God disrupts them. God shakes them up to learn, to correct, for mercy, for his grace, to help us. If God didn't disrupt your life, that's one of the things that we're going to look at maybe, is the surgery, God's wonderful surgery. He's the greatest surgeon, you know. And his wonderful surgery is of providence. And God takes our human ignorance, which is so vast, ignorance. Remember, we just hit it Sunday. You have to, because we don't have to think about these things. And this is Einstein, all kinds of ways to do this. But Einstein, he was a pretty sharp fellow. And Einstein used 2% of his brain. So that's what they figured. So using that little illustration for good or bad, what do we have? Well, then there's 98% he didn't use. But it's all there. And you only use that which you're conscious of. The rest of you is all existent because you're collecting all the time. It didn't go away, bubbling away. Thousands of pictures, thousands of words, thousands of incidents pouring into your head and heart all over the place. You never use them. But your mind, what you do in the 2%, is governed by them. And we don't understand our ignorance. And in not understanding our ignorance, we tend to think our 2%, what we think we understand, we're running with it, not realizing we may run too quickly and should pace ourselves a little differently because we don't have. We aren't there. I'll give it to you another way, 1,000 ways. What did Jeremiah say? God say in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. But we don't think that. We go and do work and home and school and cook and do everything. We do it with our 2% using that. That's what we do. Not realizing this big, the rest of it is governing our life. It's deceitful. But we don't know it. We don't even think, well, no, I'm thinking good. My thinking's good. My thinking's right. I feel good about it. Okay. But what about the rest? Are you being governed? So, God, what do you do in your wonderful surgical way? You do surgery in us, in our heart and in our brain. What do? To awaken the fact, in you dwelleth no good thing. But you have to learn it. So what do you do then? You don't trust yourself so much. And you aren't trusting, will the tree fall? Will the tree hit the house? That isn't going to be an issue. Because we're looking to God who's in charge of the trees. You see, otherwise the storm is running my life. The plague is running my life. And not God. That doesn't mean you're disconnected from common sense. It just means you understand that we're limited. We're little, limited. We're ignorant. And say, no. I've been to Harvard and Podunk University. I haven't. It's obvious I haven't been to Harvard. Otherwise, I'd be in Washington. You understand that? Anyway. Now, God, so back, now, our lesson. God, you're so good at lessons now. So, Mark chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Remember now, they're up in the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to go over the other side, go to the Gadareans on the other side of the Jordan, and they're going to cross the Galilean Sea. Verse 36. And when they had sent, when they had sent away the multitude, because they all wouldn't fit in the boat, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So there's not just one, a little convoy going across the Sea of Galilee. Verse 17. And there arose a great storm of wind. There's your stormy wind. And the waves beat into the ship. Uh-huh. Now, these are fishermen. They lived all their life. This is their job, to fish. And that's in that sea, Galilee. That's what they did. That's where they made their living. So they fished storms in every winter, spring, summer, fall. So therefore, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now, what's the little word? Full of water. Would you be concerned if you were in a ship full of water? That's what I'd ask. I'd be concerned if I was in a ship full of water. Now, guys, how many times did you guys have to live with a ship full of water? Well, we never did like this. We never did. God, you're the one. Remember the storm. Hang on. The storm. God. Now, what kind of storm is this? This is God's kind of storm to educate, to enlighten, to exercise. Therefore, it was full, verse 38. And he was in the hinder part, back of the ship, asleep, as you know, on a pillow, and they awake him. Now, what happens if they didn't awake him? Would he drown in the ship full of water? No. No, they could have said, let's not disturb him. He's resting, tired, but they didn't do that. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we're perishing? That's what we're going to die. That's what they said. We're going to die. We're going to drown out here. Ship's going to sink. Wow. Wow. Now you have to imagine the ship's full of water. There's a trained people that know the sea, and they're all concerned. It's great panic, distress. The storm and wind there, the waves are blowing, If you ever read accounts of the back then in those days where they gave you records of stuff, of things and the water coming down the mountain, you know, the mountains up there, it'd be like a roller coaster. The wind from the over the mountain and the wind right over the mountain and whoosh, like a big roller coaster, the snowball. The wind goes whoosh, and hits the sea, and whoosh, just like iceberg. You've seen icebergs, and when the big hunk breaks off. That's how they have big tidal waves in little towns up there in Alaska and other places. Because it makes huge waves when it hits. Uh-huh. Okay, so here's the storm. And I'm trying to tell you that it just isn't happy days. There's great distress. And don't you care that we're perishing, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sin, and said unto the sea, how do you talk to the sea? Only he can. I talk to the sea. Peace be still, shalom. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now you want to get the word calm, tranquility. But the wonder of the words. Do you know the The background of this word calm is a Hebrew word, and it's the word to smile. To smile, to laugh. I'm going to read it now. And the wind ceased, and there was a great smile on the surface of the water, looking up at him. They were all worried and afraid. Right? It's a storm. And God made it all stop, like Psalm 107, and said, now, Stuart, I want to learn something. The storm wasn't the issue. It was whether you're going to trust me. That's the issue. I'm in charge of the storm. Remember we said in the beginning, we are privileged as believers to have the book and the God of the book in whose presence we are. And God makes all of that work. And that's the storm. Wonderful, wonderful. We have never had this apart from the storm. A smile. Now, God, here we are looking. And God, you're going to go and calm the storm, the calm smile. Storm cleans the air and makes everything clean and neat, starting all over again, stirring up everything, and then calming it all down. Now, and for mercy. So God, in your wonderful providential management, you're going to do what you're going to do, and you do what you're going to do in such a way to move the heart, etc. Now, we've got a bit, chapter 4, we don't want to walk away. After the calm, the smile, then God's admonition, verse 40, underline it in your brain and heart. He said unto them, they're sitting in the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why didn't you believe me? Well, I believe, but why would you be afraid if you're believing? We just did that in 1 John 4. Perfect love casts what? Casts out fear. Now, if you were trusting me, why would you be afraid? Why would you be all distressed? That means you weren't really trusting me. And you'll notice the last in verse 10, they had no faith. They didn't have 10% faith, 15% faith. They had no faith because you weren't trusting me. You're trusting the chairs. And you trust them, not 15%. You're trusting them 100%. You don't trust them 15%. God said, you don't trust me 25%. Either you trust me or you don't. And I'm going to send another storm. A virus, then another virus, then another storm, and another storm. Now, are you going to learn to trust me and fear me? Or are you going to get all hung up on everything else? That's the question. That's a question, isn't it? And you are privileged of all people. Therefore, when the winds of adversity blow, do we run or do we face them and let the winds of adversity blow? And I guess to use the wind, we'll build windmills. We'll build windmills and get the power of what was happening. And that's what I enjoyed in the little bit of storm we had, watching it. I love God's power. I love to see it. I'd sit right in the middle of it. I told you if we had a tornado, I'd say, everyone sit still and we're going to watch it so we can see its magnificence. You'd say, oh, crazy. And you'd all run downstairs and hope it, you could hide in the nursery or something. I hope you never have to do that. Now, that's my half a thought. I hope it helped. It's an awesome thing. Use it well. Use it well. Learn to love God's magnificent working. And to say, where? Every day. And that's how you walk, God's providential walk, in the light of his surgical providential surgery, working on your ignorance. That's what this is, isn't it? Weren't they ignorant? They should have known from all the other things. They should have known to trust him. If he was asleep, what would they worry about? Think of Peter walking in the water. Lord looked to the Lord, he walked. The Lord didn't have a problem walking in the water. He could walk in the moon if he wanted to. What difference does it make? Either we trust him or we don't. And that's what you want to do. And all I can say is, God help us. And I hope you have a powerless, delightful night, looking to God. And take a glass of ice water with you if you need it. Anyway, I thank you. I'm glad I think we did this. I hope it helps. You have to learn to love God's providence, his management. You have to learn to love it. That's what you do. And the more you get to love it, the more you'll enjoy it. I'm telling you, you already know these things.